In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
Hey, welcome to EMS Office Hours. This is Jim Hoffman. You are listening to a recorded episode of the show. This is actually the second half of last week's live episode that was taped at blogtalkradio.com/EMSS. We're going to talk this week and we continue the conversation about perception and EMS, and particularly when you have something like a recent video that was shown about some police officers and EMS workers in New York City and a patient who ended up dying either because of something that they did or did not do, or maybe something totally unrelated to what they were doing at the scene. So we're going to talk about that during this episode. So I hope you enjoy it, and I encourage you to leave your comments, questions, or concerns below in the show notes. So let's take a listen, and I hope you enjoy it.
I was getting a lot of private phone calls, Dave, and text messages and chats asking where you were.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, you know, they were like, where's the third party there? You know, Dave Brenner, we need to have him on. Yeah, so thank God you called in.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Otherwise, people had to listen to me.
Rather than Josh. Josh is
air conditioner. I'm new on the show, and I had high expectations of you, Dave, and I was let down. So. Well, there you go.
There you go. Right from the get-go, you get crap from the, you know.
Go right for the jugular. Who is that guy?
That's Donald.
who the hell is that guy?
Donald Gosh. He's been listening to the show a little bit.
FNG.
Contacted me about possibly calling in, so.
I'm no longer the junior guy.
Right, yeah.
I got somebody else. He knows he's got to sweep up afterwards, right?
Geez, Jim, I think we got to promote Dave now.
Dave could be on the what?
I don't know, but we're going to have to give him like 10% over what he's getting
Dave
already.
Dave could be the head guy in charge of, I don't know.
Of Don.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, Don. Welcome.
So,
thanks. Appreciate it.
What I want to talk about in the second half of the show here, guys, I don't know how many of you are familiar with this or not or following this at all, but there was a recent issue in New York City, actually Staten Island, New York, where the police department and EMS got into an issue with a person, and the guy ended up dying. And there's video of the cops taking the guy down to the ground. There's video of EMS workers coming up and you know, doing some sort of an assessment on the guy, and the guy ended up dying. And of course, if you know, Facebook is abound with all kinds of commentary
very educated opinions.
Well, it's coming from both other providers.
Some are, and some are definitely less so.
Yeah, and this is something we've talked about on the show before, and we've talked about, the topics like this in the past, that sort of these perception of how these types of things can really affect how we're perceived to the public when the public sees these types of things, because this is now sort of, this is on the national stage, how difficult it is to look at a video like this and be in EMS and it's not be that Monday morning quarterback type thing, you know?
Well, some of the real damage that was done was actually done by some of the state legislators who fostered opinions on Facebook with, you know, less than any knowledge.
Right.
I mean, it was really, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, you know, it's hard to tell if the guy is breathing or not on the video when the EMS, the EMT walks up to them. You know, you see her check for a pulse. in the video, and she says he's got a pulse, and it's hard to see if he was breathing or maybe if he had abdominal breath or what was going on. So I don't know at what point this guy actually ended up dying, if it was in the back of the truck or perhaps if he was dead on the scene and no one was doing anything for the guy. But, you know, it's hard to be that Monday morning, you know, sort of quarterback on this and armchair, you know, quarterback and make a judgment about what went on. So I don't want to do that.
Let me just deviate from this particular example for a second, because I know of another example where I know two good EMTs that were fired because of a YouTube video. It was a relatively hot job. It was a relatively public job. And, you know, it got out there. It was on the news. It was a little child involved. And the child actually turned out to be okay. But, you know, it's like throwing fault through a lack of knowledge and education, and then the having ramifications from other people in higher positions throwing, you know, damning them before they do. And the rundown I'll give you is basically there was a kid, very hot job. He was given to the EMTs. There were medics on scene. The EMTs basically ran to the medics with the kid, and they had actually put an oxygen mask on, but as they were running the stretcher over, the oxygen mask fell off, which they sometimes do. And because they snapped a picture with the kid with no oxygen on, these guys were fired for not doing what they were supposed to do.
So and I'm just...
Yeah, and, you know, what do you expect from an EMT? When medics are on scene, what do the EMTs do? You know, how often, you know, I've never seen them hold back medics and say, sorry, we've got this, unless it's a non-critical patient, you know, and
Josh,
they're doing you a favor.
Josh,
yeah.
I don't know why they got fired.
Oh, I know why they got fired. I was there. You know, I
did you fire them?
No, I didn't fire them, but
I don't know why they got fired. I'm just
okay, you know. Dave, yes, one of them was my friend. I talked to him a bit.
Okay.
You know, I sort of think I do know why they got fired. But you're right. I wasn't in the room at the time. He might not have told me the whole story. But, you know, I had enough people who were around the scene at the time who told me, you know, from a couple of different angles. And I'm sorry, you know, in that situation where, you know, there was no ramifications from their actions, and they were basically doing what they thought they were supposed to be doing, which was getting this kid to a high level of
care. And how long ago was this, Josh?
This is a couple of years ago. This is 3 or 4 years ago. It was a fire in the Bronx.
Yeah. Now, see, now nowadays, I mean, back then you had a big social media presence too, but I think now...
No, that was more... It was a YouTube video that killed him.
But I'm saying, but nowadays you've got... Well, I mean, even more social media stuff happening. And I think, like you said, EMTs and medics that were all four of them were suspended without pay and all this good stuff, you know, they're being judged and people are and like I said in the title of the show tonight, is treating from the sidelines. You know, people are treating this guy laying on the ground, what they would have done, what would have happened. And you know what? I've been on calls like that. I've been on calls where the guy's handcuffed and he's laying there, you know.
And the cops won't let you near the guy.
The cops won't let you near the guy, or you go over, and half the time the guy's full of shit. He's not unconscious. He's acting unconscious because he wants to get out of the handcuffs. He wants to, you know, not go to jail. So now they're acting. Not saying that this guy was doing that, but as you're treating somebody, sometimes you end up assessing a scene like that based upon your past experiences. And when you've had...
Just wait a second. Back up a second. Look at this conversation. I mean, Dave was basically sitting there and not, you know, being even further removed from the story that I was telling. And, you know, with a reasonable doubt, sitting there saying, hey, Josh, you don't really know. You know, they got fired. You don't know the reason.
And you're going by what they're telling you as well.
What?
But you're going also by what your friend was saying in his part of the story.
I'm going by probably a little bit better data than what, you know, watching from the sidelines or even seeing all the news shows on it had, you know? I mean, it happened to people I know in a service I work in.
And I'm sure there's people that with these four individuals, too, that have their inside scoop on what these guys said. Hey, we got on a scene, and this is what was happening, and this is what we saw, and the guy did have a pulse, and he didn't die until we were 2 minutes from the house. Who knows what the hell the backstory is from these providers that got suspended.
Right.
You know?
Well, and that's the problem with all this. It's just like we were saying, how nobody understands our field of work regarding our scope of practice and things like that. Well, they don't, you know, people don't realize the chaos that we're walking into. And it's like, and I sound like some 90-year-old saying this sentence, but these damn, you know, iPhones and all these smartphones that can upload these videos in seconds to YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, it's going to be, I don't want to say it's going to be the death of us, but, you know, you hear so much, just like this situation of, you know, people that know 10% of the story based on a video, and now you're going to have management and HR firing the guy, you know, just to save face, to say, well, we might have put him on administrative leave. Oh, wait, no, he actually been terminated. You know, and it's just, you know, when you're only seeing 10% of the 10% of the story just from some guy's cell phone that was standing nearby, you know, it's just...
And, Don, I think it also has to do with the infrastructure we work in, because the cops, you know, well, the cop who did the – most of the cops that were involved in this have been, desk duty type of reassignments. The one cop who was shown doing the chokehold was – but he didn't operate alone. He's been stripped of his badge and his gun, and I believe he's suspended without pay. But four EMTs, I mean, the two medics and two EMTs, they were suspended without pay and restricted all in one shot.
And you got, and on top of it, you've got now the state looking into it, which might pull their state certifications based on what's going on.
And I know one of the medics. He's a damn good medic. You know,
but like I said, this is the type of thing.
It's really frustrating.
It's the type of thing where we get this perception, right? We're doing a job, and we're doing. We have these issues that we come across, like, you know, dealing with a patient like this, where, you know, the cops don't let you near him. You're already hindered because the guy's in handcuffs. He's on the ground. He's in the public view. A huge guy. You can't just get on the stretcher easily to get him in the back of the ambulance and you know, treat the guy. So you've always been sort of lining up on top of you, on top of the fact that most of us in this job, we've had patients like that and been in
try to get a tuba
like that. Yeah, you know, you're in a bad position, and then, and like you said, on top of all that, you've got this public perception now because the video is all over the place. And then they got the public now, you know, judging and deciding what should be. And, you know, more and more sort of governing bodies getting involved and suspending whoever. And they're doing their own investigation about it. And doctors and stuff chiming in on radio shows and chiming in on news programs about they should have done I was watching one, they should have done the ABCs. And I'm like, you know, shut up. You have no idea what you're talking about. You know.
Well, ambulate before carry?
Yeah, well,
I don't think
that guy was pretty big. That's definitely the first ABC.
Yeah.
So, Dave, you're being kind of quiet over there, which is always scary.
Well, I sent you a text. I didn't know if you wanted to.
I did get the text. I don't know if you wanted to make that a public thing or not, if you wanted to talk about that.
An interesting perspective on what it was you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm willing to make part. I mean, don't read the whole text, but I will say this: that First Edition called me, called me on the phone, sent me an email, because they wanted an expert opinion about the chokehold maneuver.
Right.
So, no.
What
good
the hell? What the hell? Expert? Are you in that maneuver?
Well, it so happens I might be an expert in that maneuver, but I don't know where they got my name from. I don't know where they got it from.
from your expertise on EMS office hours. What do you think?
Oh, you're right. You know, they're monitoring us because we're competition to them. We're getting a percentage of their
audience. Some of the, exactly.
I'm listening to EMS office hours.
Right. You should just to plug the show.
I should have done that. You're right. I don't know anything about the chokehold, but on EMS office hours, we're going to be discussing this in detail.
folks
talking about it.
I can see the money rolling in now.
Oh my God! Just a point about office hours. We don't have lightweights on the show. We have experts.
Thank you.
The chokehold maneuver.
Right.
So, but my response to me was, no good is going to come out of this. I'm not going to. There's no way I can make anybody look good. And there's no, you know, how do you respond to a question about a chokehold? Well, you know, the chokehold's not such a bad thing. You're calling it a chokehold, you know?
Yeah.
So, sir, when did you stop beating your wife?
Right, exactly. Are you still beating your wife? Right. I know. Yeah, right. So I chose not to respond. Not because I'm afraid to be in the limelight, because I'm not, but... This was only going to end up in bashing, and
that's a lose-lose conversation. Yeah, totally.
It is for the profession, and not that I don't have an opinion about it. And I really, my opinion, ultimately, right. My opinion is these guys need due process, real due process.
Yeah.
I would like to think, although I know it won't happen, if they are found to have not done something wrong, they should be reinstated with pay. For all the time they lost, because they can't work anywhere in the New York City system.
But right. Who's going to pay for them? Who's going to pay for that due process?
The people who took away their privilege to work, or at the very least, they took away their privilege to work without firing them. They should be filing for unemployment. And I don't even want to get to that because I'm not an expert on unemployment. But somebody took away their ability to work, and if it was found to be the wrong reason, I think they deserve to pay for it. I'm sure. If the same thing happened to a police officer, they would get the back pay. I'm not sure that will happen to EMTs and paramedics.
And these guys are from a voluntary hospital, I think, as well. So they're not they don't have the FDNY union behind them at all.
No, they have the 9/11, which is the
1199. Yeah.
You know, if I were the Sydney union, I would get on this because letting this go will affect them.
Yeah,
ultimately,
that's true.
It affects them.
That's
true. If it's bad for the profession, it's bad for them.
But we know how unions look at this. I mean, that's why the cops, you know, most of the cops are okay who are around this because they have the police union. I mean, come on, you know, we have less than nothing when it comes to that type of protection. You're really, you know, we're all together until you hang alone.
Yeah,
it's funny though.
Yeah. Tell me why you don't have a union.
You gotta get the Catholic paramedics. That's my favorite union. The LCP has set you free.
I don't know why you don't have a union.
Unlike you Yankees, if you say the word union down south, you get fired. So
yeah, you can't even mention the word union.
But up here, it's not so bad.
Well,
one thing I was gonna ask, you know, it's along the same story, but just kind of a different subject. You know, is there something that we need to be doing as providers if we get on scene and we see something like that? You know, I mean, when I worked in the emergency department, we had vast education on when a patient was going freaking crazy. You know, how to properly restrain them without getting on their airway, without lying on their chest, you know. And so is that something that, like, when we get on scene, yes, you need to respect the police officer and the fact that he is doing what he needs to do to restrain this patient. But when are we all of a sudden responsible, or when is that patient, quote-unquote, under our care? Is it the second we see the patient, or is it when the cop says, okay, you can take care of him now? You know what I mean? So I think there's an importance there for EMS providers when they get on scene. As long as the guy isn't holding a knife or a gun, to saying, officer, you do what you got to do, but feel free to try to not have your arm around his throat. I feel like you are occluding his airway, and he's going to stop breathing, and it's going to be bad.
Yeah, you go and tell that calmly to an officer conducting a big takedown arrest. Yeah, that'll go far.
I should have prefaced this before I got on the show.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I should have prefaced me being on the show that I'm new into EMS, so I understand what you're saying.
Oh, God. Yeah. New on the show, new. You don't
well,
say
well, the thing is, too, is that, you know, we all can go back to our training at an EMT and paramedic school on how to properly restrain and subdue patients.
But stop. The EMTs, I believe, were not there when the guy was being restrained.
No, nobody was. Okay. They were there after the fact. If you watch the video, I think it's on socialmedic.com, has the video.
Unedited?
He's got the part of the video, the second half of it, I believe, when they're waiting for EMS to get there, and then the initial contact of the EMT, and then putting the guy in a stretcher and wheeling him over to the ambulance. So you see, you know, what the EMTs did and all.
The way it was edited and shown on TV, of course, looked like the guy went down, an EMT rushed over, checked their, you know.
No, he was down for a little bit before the EMT even got there.
Oh, yeah. You know, the other thing that we don't know is the entire climate, the entire scene.
Right.
It's out of context to just look at the patient. So,
oh yeah, totally.
Well, I have opinions. What I would like to have seen happen, I don't know the whole scene.
Mm-hmm.
The whole scene has to be part of it.
Right.
And I don't know it, and I wasn't chiming in on that. I know what I would like for myself to do when I see something like that, but that's presuming everything else that's going on around me is passive in the background, and I'm not sure that's the case.
No, but you're right, though, Dave, and this is part of why I wanted to bring that up, because looking at a lot of the stuff that's said, you know, on Facebook and all about this whole thing, what I've watched on the news, a couple of news channels with this, is the same type of thing. It's like, you know, everybody is sort of, you know, trying and finding these people guilty without knowing everything. And it could, and things like you said, Dave, the entire scene, the backdrop, what was going on out of range of that camera, that might have affected what was happening. And none of that gets discussed, you know, and people just start making judgments, or people sort of chime in with their expertise, like you said, Josh, people that are from, you know, governing bodies coming in now and giving their opinion on it without knowing everything that's going on.
Well, even within our own ranks, I was sitting there the other day listening to this guy who said, oh, it could have been stopped if there were experienced people on board. You know, because they would have known to stand up to the cops and tell them to take the patient out of handcuffs.
Everyone's a freaking tough guy with the cops when they're not there. You know what I mean? Everyone's a tough guy and this is my scene. If that shit doesn't happen, you know, I think you're just full of shit if you're saying that. You know, that does not go on in real life. You know, you get on these calls and you're trying to manage what's going on as best you can with the tools that you have and the relationships that you have with other people that are on the scene. And I think, like Dave said, I think one thing that's important is if these people do get the due process and they do get their certifications and they're able to go back to work, you're not going to see a video about that. You're not going to see any video about them being exonerated, about, you know, them being, you know, proven that they didn't do anything wrong. That's not going to happen, you know. And
right. Much of the public side, they're guilty, and they'll never know anything.
If they get exonerated, it's going to be like, you know, oh, it's just you know, it was you know, it's bull. They got off the hook, you know, because of who they knew, or because of, you know, the EMS protecting their own type thing. You know what I mean? It's not going to be this thing where they get exonerated and then, you know, there's an article about this EMT, this medic that were involved in this whole thing, and they were found innocent and, you know, they did the right thing. So everybody that was, you know, that was judging them and everything, you can go eat crow now. Right. You're not going to get that. That's not going to happen. You know. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully, if they did do no wrong, and like you said, the whole background drop of it and everything, what was going on, is looked at as a whole. You know, hopefully they do get the judge back. You know, and then if they did something wrong, if they didn't treat the patient the way they were supposed to, and whatever, you know, then maybe they deserve to get fired.
Wait. If let's say they didn't do everything right, instead of saying they did do something wrong, which is the same thing, but it's not all black and white.
No.
You know, over every single thing that possibly could have occurred, did they need to lose their jobs?
And that's what I said about, you know, having experience in this job and coming on, you know, many scenes like that. You know, you have a predisposition of what's going on in the scene when you get there, when you find out you got this, you know, a perp in handcuffs. You know, you're already thinking in your head that this guy's going to be, you know, I'm a diabetic, I'm hypertensive, I have asthma, I've got anything to get out of the handcuffs.
I mean, that guy was a walking heart attack anyway, if you took a look at him. And
if I had to guess, I think this guy dropped dead of a heart attack. It had nothing to do with his asthma, nothing to do with the chokehold. I think the stress of the situation, the size of him, I think he ended up having an MI from it and dying from that.
Probably just the activity of fighting off the cops, you know, he threw a PE.
Yeah, who knows? You know, and I'd love to see the autopsy. I'm sure they're going to do an autopsy on it and find out its cause of death. I'd love to come back and see what, you know, what that was from.
But the problem is...
Well, and, you know, would it make a difference if he had methamphetamines and cocaine in his system as well? You know, I mean, the public wouldn't care about that, but...
No, that's the thing, and you can probably bet that it would be pretty damn hard for anybody out there that's been damning the EMTs and the cops on this to come back and try to lay any sort of blame on this guy that died, you know.
Yeah.
You know what
hey
I mean?
Guys, get off of here, but I really enjoyed the show. I'll have to join in again.
Yeah, no problem, Donald.
All right, y'all take care. It's good talking with y'all.
All right, have a good night.
Stay safe.
All right,
cheers.
Yeah, we're gonna wrap this up anyway, guys. I think, but I think that the you know, listen, you can simplify the crap out of this too and say, well, if this guy didn't resist, he never would have been taken down to the ground.
You know, listen, we all have some street experience here, Jim. You know, and with that, the guy was selling Lucy's on the street corner. I mean. A Lucy's? You
How
don't know?
Old do you think I am?
You know exactly what a Lucy is. And you smoked it one time. But that's,
maybe
you know...
everybody knows what a Lucy is.
Yeah, why don't you say a Lucy is, Josh?
A Lucy is loose cigarettes. It's a term used for loose cigarettes.
Right.
You know? And there's just got to be a certain level of street thug, I hate to say that, you know, watch the shows called out, but, you know, who does that? Yeah, you know, that was some criminal activity. The cops had a right to get involved. Now, to take the guy down in a chokehold, well, that, I wasn't there.
Well, that's the thing, it's hard to, and again, you can't even, you know, just as what I'm trying to say, it's hard to judge what the cops did, but, you know, the EMS guys did.
And the cop who involved, his history sort of leads you to the conclusion that, you know, in some way he's guilty. But again, you know, we're not talking about that cop. Putting a chokehold on somebody and bringing them down, it's not the right thing to do unless you're
and
in
then,
a life or death situation.
I mean, because again, you can, you know, you look at the guy that they brought down, the guy that died, you know, they said he had 30 arrests and all this other stuff, had a long history. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like you don't want to blame him either, you know, because there's a right way and wrong way of doing things.
But what really gets me here, Jim, of all these things, I don't want to even talk about the cops or the guy, is the EMS who was on scene and even more so the medics who were even more removed because they weren't even first EMS on
yeah,
scene.
Yeah, I didn't even see them in the video unless the video out there, I didn't see.
Right. And they all, everybody, in a blanket wave of the hand, whatever, you know, person has the right to make that call, just out of, it sounds like a reactionary move from the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, suspend them all without pay. Without pay?
And, you know, and we know about EMS because I bitch about this problem all the time. These guys were probably working three different jobs to feed their family.
And now that's the thing, too. They get suspended or whatever from one place they're working, and then the state steps in, so takes it away, you know, until the investigation is over. Now they can't work anywhere.
And even if the state doesn't, they're still restricted. They can't work out anywhere.
And then it's like what Dave said, too. Who's affording them the capability to fight this, you know?
So, Josh, why don't you guys have a union?
What?
I said, Josh, why don't you guys have a union?
The 1199.
So what are they doing for this?
These guys are part of 1199. You know, EMS is fractured around the country and around the state and around the country. So I can't even comment because I work in a shop that doesn't have a union, and that's the way they want it.
You know what a union's guarantee, right?
Dues.
Union dues. Yes, that's the guarantee.
That's right.
So you don't.
And I belong to many.
So. I mean, but what's your opinion about EMS? Should EMS have a body that protects them and is, you know, over, you know, becomes a voice for them?
I would say that this kind of action says that we need something to guarantee a fair due process for these guys. It's this kind of action, especially from what little inside information I have, especially about the medics, who just got grouped together with everything,
mm-hmm.
I think there has to be a consequence if the agency does something like this and it's found to be totally inappropriate.
And I get this, again, like we said before, a lot of times these things end up being this knee-jerk reaction, some way to sort of satisfy the media and the public for what happened. And, you know, we go back to what we mentioned early on in the show, this whole perception that a video like this does. You know, we don't have enough, good PR out there. You know, there's not enough entities out there that are promoting good public relations for us to sort of, you know, outweigh when these negative things happen. So when this negative stuff happens, it's like everybody jumps on it, you know, because there's not enough positive stuff that's pushed
right
out there.
And some people jump on it for the wrong reasons, like publicity.
Yeah, exactly. You know. So
look at the action I'm taking for the voters.
Right, yeah, exactly. So, well, listen, guys, we're about out of time here. It's almost 10 after, so I want to try to wrap it up. You know, of course, I always encourage not judging this type of stuff, you know, from your computer at home or from your iPod when you're looking at the, you know, the video. You know, try to think about the situation that you would be in if it was similar. You know, and I encourage people out there that when you're out there work on the street, just keep in mind that you don't know who is videotaping you or taking a picture of what you're doing on any call.
You're always on camera.
That's the way you've got to think of it. That's the way you have to think of it nowadays, because that could very well be the case. And then, like Dave said, you know, something happens, you're going to have nobody there that's going to be kind of standing by your side. You're going to get thrown to the wolves, and you're going to be, you know, on your own, you know, most of the time, you know, when something like that happens. You know, it's going to be a knee-jerk reaction, and you're not going to, you know, no one's going to care about the full story, you know. So, I mean, people need to kind of keep that in mind. I mean, that's the one thing. And we've said that before on the show, too, you know, that people have got to keep that in mind, you know, when you're working out there, that you never know who's videotaping you or taking a picture. So you got to kind of always sort of keep that in the back of your mind. And I've been caught, I've been, you know, reminded of that a few times where, like, you know, I could be videotaped right now. Not that I'm doing anything wrong, but it ends up being something that's added to my scene size up nowadays. You know, it's who could be videotaping me on this one. You know?
Yeah.
Scene size up, you know, scene size up, scene safety, BSI, anybody videotaping.
You know, maybe that's a
the airway open.
Maybe that's a subject worth revisiting for our next show. Is defense? Do we practice defensive medicine?
Yeah. So, absolutely.
Defensive medicine. I don't even like the sound of that.
What a surprise. And with that, kiddies,
exactly.
Going to be back.
Well, Dave, thanks for jumping in. I'm glad you got on the second half of the show.
I'm sorry I was late. I love this.
Oh, it happens. What are you going to do? But I'm glad you got on. I'm glad you're able to jump in and you know, give us some of your thoughts on this stuff. This actually, the second half won't air until another week, but, you know, it's good stuff, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Maybe in another week when the second half of the show airs, or it's all over, these guys will have their jobs back. Who knows?
It would be good if they did.
Yeah, exactly. So, Josh, anything else going on with you?
No, I'm just trying. I am trying to get this product out, and it's making me nuts, but it's, you know, and hopefully an announcement by next week. Next show.
Oh, okay, good. All righty. Well, guys, thanks for joining me, and we'll see you for the next live show in 2 weeks, and next week we will have a edited recording, as always. So thanks for joining us, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Stay safe.
All right, everybody, that's it for me. Any questions, comments, concerns, send them over to me at contact@emsofficehours.com. Until next week, as always, Jim Hoffman. Stay safe.